are the light of the world, let your light shine before all men, that they may see your deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. The lamp is the mitzvah. The light it shines is the Torah. The lamp is the mitzvah. The light it shines is the Torah. The lamp is the mitzvah.
What about evangelism? A messianic perspective on sharing the gospel. Lecture 2, the gospel of the kingdom. In the last lecture, we began to discuss evangelism. And we discussed a broad overview of two very different approaches to evangelism. I offered you my perspective on the conventional evangelical model, why it doesn't work, or why when it does work, it tends to make converts rather than disciples. The traditional approach is characterized by what you might say are marketing techniques. We are trained to be salesmen for Jesus, so to speak. We're trained to pressure the sale, closing the deal, a marketing type of thing. And it comes with a serious moral imperative, a guilt trip attached to our effort. And that is that people's souls are hanging in the balance, and we are personally responsible for their eternal damnation if we don't convince them. There's a lot of problems with this approach. I also introduced you to what you might call a more Torah-based approach. The master said, make disciples, not converts. We are to teach them to obey his commandments, and based upon the Torah's own prescription for being a light to the world, a light to the nations. The theory is that if we just live holy, sanctified lives, people will take notice. They'll say, hey, I want some of that. And then they come to faith, joining us at the table. But I also observed that there are some problems with this approach. It's a great theory, but it doesn't necessarily always work that way. It doesn't even often work that way. I guess you could say I'm not really a believer in either of these approaches to evangelism, though I certainly lean towards the latter. And both of them do have some merit, but I don't see either of them as being ultimately effective, not in today's world. A third way is needed, or at least some refinement of both of these models. Real change only happens when heart opens up to heart. Effective evangelism has to be a heart-to-heart endeavor. In the last lecture, we discussed the difficulties involved in communicating spiritual truth in the language of men. We stand stammering like Moses, tongue-tied and stuttering. How do you reduce the ineffable into the language of human beings? This was Moses' dilemma. How could he hope to communicate the sublime majesty of God, the creator of everything, to Pharaoh and to Israel? Israel has not listened to me. How much less will Pharaoh listen to me? How do you capture the infinite and express it in the language of the finite? And we discovered that what set Moses' tongue free was the giving of the Torah at Sinai. It was the Pentecost event, that God clothed himself in the language of men, revelation. And thereafter, Moses' tongue was loosed, and he spoke the whole of the Torah to Israel. And we saw the same process happen with the disciples. Tongue-tied and stammering, they didn't even know how to formulate the right questions, much less give the answers, until their tongues were loosed by the Holy Spirit on the day of Shavuot, the day of Pentecost. The Pentecost event. It's a key, perhaps the most important key, to learning how to share our faith. The revelation of the Torah, the leading and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We concluded that we need to learn to follow the Spirit's leading, to watch for opportunities, to pray for opportunities, to anticipate them, and to follow the Spirit's leading. Moreover, we need to rely upon the revelation that came at Shavuot, the revelation of the Torah spoken on the mountain, spoken through Moses. In this lecture, I would like to discuss the Torah context for the gospel just a little bit. I feel that this is necessary because in the Messianic movement, we have inherited a church mindset that sees the Torah as something quite distinct and disconnected from the gospel. As if the gospel message and evangelism which is the proclamation of that message, is one thing, and the Torah is another thing. Allegedly, in the Messianic movement, we are past this kind of thinking, this Old Testament versus New Testament thinking, but I find that the paradigm is very much alive and kicking in people's minds, even in the Messianic movement. I teach weekly at a Messianic congregation, and at times I've received complaints from congregants who should know better, who feel that I don't teach the gospel at my congregation, which has always surprised me because, from my perspective, I teach nothing but the gospel. So when this has happened, I've followed up to try to understand what the issue is, and I have found a fairly consistent line of thought. The idea is that unless you are teaching the conventional, believe in Jesus and confess his name for a personal relationship so that you will go to heaven when you die, you aren't preaching the gospel. In many evangelical churches, the pastor concludes virtually every sermon with an invitation to become a Christian, an altar call of sorts. And I rarely do that. From time to time, yes, I do. But I operate on the assumption, for the most part, that people engaged in a community of faith are already people of faith. And I feel that it is condescending to continually treat them as if they are not. I've never felt that constant evangelism in the sense of continually making an invitation to become a believer is an appropriate message for a community of faith. It never grants people the opportunity to grow in Messiah. Don't misunderstand. From time to time, I certainly do make that appeal, but the deeper problem, the deeper misunderstanding, is that if you are teaching Torah, or even teaching from the Torah, you can't possibly be teaching the gospel. It goes back to Christian theology, which supposes that the gospel came to supplant the Torah, that Yeshua came to dismiss Moses, and that the Torah is actually the antithesis, the opposite of the gospel message. We need to get past this dichotomous thinking. We need to mature in the Word of God. We need to learn to see that the Torah is part of the good news, and in fact, the good news is contained in it. The problem also manifests among Christians who come into a messianic understanding of their faith, but then seem to lose the ability to articulate and share the gospel, replacing that concern for the lost, it seems, with a concern for Torahizing other Christians. Sometimes people seem to think that once they've been initiated into the messianic movement, so to speak, they're no longer able to communicate the gospel to the world because instead, they are inhibited by the Jewishness of the message and find that creates an impediment to sharing the gospel message. On Sunday nights, I used to teach a weekly Torah class small group. I did so for about a decade. Most of the people in attendance were evangelical Christians of one stripe or another, and we would go through the weekly Parsha. The thing about the Torah cycle is that every year, as you work through the stories of the slaying of the Passover lamb, the exodus from Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the giving of the Torah at Shavuot at Pentecost, the covenant meal on the mountain, the building of the tabernacle, every year as we tell these stories and read these stories and study these stories over, we, believers, see the story of our salvation unfolding again and again in the language of Torah. Several years ago, one of my students came to speak with me after the class, and she said that she was on a flight back to Minnesota from Texas, I believe. I'm not sure I remember where she was flying in from, but while she was on the plane, she struck up a conversation with the gentleman seated next to her. She was accustomed to sharing her faith, and unlike me, she often used situations like air flights to share her faith. For me, I'm sorry to say, a good flight is a flight where the person in the seat next to me doesn't try to talk to me. And I admit that I have some relearning to do in this area. But anyway, she told me that she was sharing her faith with this man and communicating to him her personal faith, the way of salvation. And as she did so, she found herself speaking in the language of Torah. The stories of the Torah came naturally as the most natural and easy explanations to the complex spiritual realities of sin, sacrificial substitution, vicarious atonement, salvation, deliverance, and redemption. She found that the whole story of the gospel was there in the Torah, and she felt energized to be wielding God's word so deftly. And she said, she told me, until that moment, I had not realized how much the study of Torah had changed my perspective on the gospel. In fact, the Torah gave her the tools to communicate the gospel better.